Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in the company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great. Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Leslie. Let me add my welcome to Suzanne's. It's great to be with you all and to share in this time together. I want to take just a bit of our time this morning to think about that Bible reading we just heard. And really, we're going to be asking one question. Where do things belong? Where do things belong? You know, your clothes, they have a place to live, your toys, your school books for adults, you know, special documents like your passports, they're kept safe somewhere. In the kitchen, pots and pans, they all have a place to belong, a proper place to be. And if they're left lying around and it's a bit of a mess, then, well, it looks a bit like that. Maybe your bedroom looks a little bit like the first picture, maybe like the second picture. Everything we have has a proper place to be, a place to belong. And really, that's our first theme for today, a place of belonging. But today, we're also starting a series thinking about peace as we go through Advent. And the topic for Advent for us this year is the topic of peace. So that's our second theme, belonging and peace. Now, there are all sorts of ways of thinking about the word peace. What does peace mean? What does it look like to have peace? Well, I think that we have peace when things are where they properly belong, when everything is in their proper place. That's when you have peace. So when I go to my office, on the odd occasion that it's tidy, I can sit down and I feel at peace. When I go to my bedroom, when it's tidy, I feel at peace. And so if I ask you, when do you feel at peace? Maybe it's when you're out on a hike or you're by the beach and there are some lovely ones in Hong Kong. Maybe it's that moment when you snap on the headphones, you turn on the music, you shut your eyes, and the music takes you to a place of peace. Maybe it's when you're just hanging out with your mates, you're having a great time, and you just love being with them. That's when you feel at peace. That's your happy place, so to speak. Why don't we take 30 seconds, have a chat with your neighbor. When and where do you feel at peace? Young and old, let's chat together. Where do you feel at peace? Seconds goes quickly. If you're particularly enjoying that conversation, then maybe after the service you can continue that with those who are near. But that's the thing, isn't it? Things have a place to belong. People have a place to belong. And it's quite distressing. We have no peace when things are out of place, when people aren't where they belong, when we aren't where we should belong. So I wonder if you've ever had the experience of being lost, or the experience of losing someone, or maybe a family member. If you're a parent, maybe your own child, or maybe you've been given responsibility to look after a niece or a nephew for some time, and you look down and the child's just there, right? Great, and you carry on with yourself. You look down again, and good, the child's still there. You carry on with what you're doing, you look, and the child's gone. And you think, oh, that's all right, it's all right. I'm sure they're just around the corner, and you look around, and you can't quite see them. And your heart starts beating that little bit faster. Your head turns that bit quicker. Your voice gets raised. Child, child, where are you? And you look for someone you know, and you see, you know, you're with family members. Have you seen the child? No. Has anyone seen the child? And your heart's getting faster and faster. You're starting to get warm. You're panicking. You're shouting louder and louder. Where's this child? It's distressing when you lose someone. And often you find the child and, where were you? Oh, I was just looking at some sweets that were on the shelf. And they didn't know that you thought they were lost. That's a happy moment anyway, when you connect back again. Sometimes even the child knows they're lost. And there they're crying, screaming, Mommy, Mommy, where are you? But that moment when everything calms back down, you lock eyes with the person you've lost. You know where they are. They know where you are. Your heart calms down and all is okay. That wave of peace comes back over you when everyone is where they belong. I imagine that's what it was like for Mary and Joseph in our story today. They've been in Jerusalem. They've traveled to this big annual festival. It's like the Chinese New Year of the time in that place. Seeing loads of friends, loads of family, catching up after a year away from one another. And they're on their way home, verse 44. And they thought that Jesus was just with them. This boy is 12 now. Jesus is 12. And they're, you know, giving him a bit more space, a bit more room to explore. And so they can't find him immediately. They thought, oh, he must be with his mates. He must be with friends or family. Until they start looking for him, maybe that night. They've traveled away a whole day's journey away from Jerusalem, perhaps. And you can hear it in the story, perhaps, that their heart rate is going up. They're getting warm. They're starting to panic. Where's Jesus? And they're looking everywhere for him. And it takes them 3 days, we're told, anxiously searching for him. And if you've ever had anxious, sleepless nights, this is one of those moments. Mary and Joseph, they've lost Jesus. He isn't where he belongs. And really, that's a question for us today as we're thinking about belonging. The question is, well, where does Jesus belong? Mary and Joseph thought maybe he was with his friends and family. That's where he belongs. Mary and Joseph thought, well, if he's not with friends and family, then he should be with us. And it's only after 3 days in verse 46 that we're told they find him in the temple courts. I imagine it's like that moment when you've lost your octopus card. You're heading out the home. You're frantically searching your keys and your octopus. And you know where you put it the night before. It was right there. Right there. And you go there in the morning. You look for it. You can't find it. You're shouting, everyone, where is it? Where has anyone seen my octopus? You think, what did I wear yesterday? You go look through the dirty clothes. And then all along it was right there where you expect it to be. Or not. It's quite distressing when we lose things. So another 30 seconds to chat. What was the last thing you lost? did you find it? What was it? Yeah, what was it? When do you lose it? Did you find it? Have 30 seconds to chat with your neighbors. again, perhaps a story we can continue to share afterwards. I hope you found the things that you lost. Often things are really where they were supposed to be in the first place. The octopus card was right there by the door. For Jesus, he says to Mary and Joseph in verse 49 of our reading, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Didn't you know that this is where I belong? Didn't you know that this is where I'm supposed to be?" You know, we have that question, where does Jesus belong? His answer is, well, I belong here, in the temple, in my Father's house. This is where I'm in my element, among the teachers of the law, asking, answering questions, showing them, and as I'm learning who I am, showing them that this is where I belong, in the worship of my Father in heaven, studying the scriptures. This is where Jesus belongs. But then that brings us to a question around Christmas. You know, if Jesus belongs with his Father, his heavenly Father, think about the Lord's Prayer we just prayed. If Jesus belongs properly in heaven, well, then what's he doing here? What is Jesus doing on earth? Now, to properly understand this, we need to step back for just a moment. We might think that the life of Jesus begins at his birth 2,000 years ago. You know, think about your own birthday. Maybe your birthday is the 5th of March 2015, and that's when life began. But for Jesus, actually, his life began long before his birth 2,000 years ago. He has always been this God of the highest heavens who has existed, who has lived from everlasting ages. Jesus the Son has always enjoyed the love of his Father in heaven, and he's always been filled with the Spirit, united as one God. And that's why Jesus belongs in heaven. If that's where he belongs, that's where he's always been, then why 2,000 years ago did he step down onto earth? And that's precisely what the story of Christmas is about, isn't it? Jesus going far from home, going far from where he belongs, going far from where he feels at peace and is comfortable, and he leaves it to come to earth. You'll recognize this picture, no doubt, of Nemo and his dad, Marlin. It's quite a fun story. Marlin, this slightly anxious, worried dad, his son Nemo, just heading off to fish school for the first time. Marlin is unsure about Nemo and whether it's really safe for him. Is Nemo really going to be okay? And if you've watched the movie, you'll remember that there was a boat off in a distance, and Nemo and his mates are talking about swimming out towards this boat. And Marlin begins yelling at Nemo and says, "Nemo, what do you think you're doing? You're going to get stuck out there, and I'll have to go get you before another fish does. Get back here. I said get back here now. Stop. You make one more move, mister." And if you're a parent here, you've probably had that sort of a conversation with your child. You know, I'm serious. And what does Nemo do? Well, he goes and he touches the boat. He does exactly what he's not supposed to do. And that sets the scene for the movie. A couple of divers appear, they catch Nemo, and off he is whisked off to who knows where. And the rest of the story is the story of Marlin doing exactly what he said he'd do. "You're going to get stuck out there, and I'll have to go get you." You know, Marlin's not interested in leaving his home. He knows exactly where he belongs. He knows exactly where he feels safe, where he should be. But he's willing to leave his home. He's willing to step away from where he belongs in order to get the one that is lost. We read these words in Luke chapter 19. The Son of Man, and the Son of Man really is just another title, another name for Jesus. And it says, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Why did Jesus leave heaven? What's he doing on earth? What on earth is he doing here? Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And that's the thing about this story that in the reading that we had earlier in Luke chapter 2. At first glance, it might seem like Jesus is lost. Where's Jesus? He's not with us, Mary and Joseph say. Well, where's Jesus? He's not with our friends and family. Well, where's Jesus? We can't find him anywhere. As if Mary and Joseph need to rescue him and bail him out. But actually, Jesus is not lost. Jesus knows exactly where he needs to be, and he goes there. He knows where he belongs. He's completely confident in himself, in his own identity, in his calling, in his belonging. He hasn't wandered far from home and gotten lost. He's wandered far from home to find the lost. There's a question here of who's lost, and it's not Jesus. So who is lost? Well, that's you and me. We're the ones who are lost. That's what the Bible has to say to us. We're out of place. We are not where we belong. Don't we experience that in all sorts of ways, that we have no peace, and no sense of belonging? Whether we're an adult or a child here this morning, there are all sorts of ways in which we experience a lack of a sense of belonging, a lack of peace. Children at school, frustrated. They don't fit in with their friends. They don't like all the same things. They don't feel cool. They feel out of place. They feel like they've got to keep up with their mates and the latest fads and the latest interests, and they've got to have watched all the cool things and done all the cool stuff just like everyone else. But so often we feel like we don't belong. And it's not just the kids. If you're an adult, don't we know that experience all too well? That so often things go wrong and we feel frustrated and life just doesn't seem to go the way we feel it should. We're constantly chasing after something or another. We get imposter syndrome. We don't feel like we should really be where we are. We chase after experiences and possessions week after week. We get tired and burnt out because we're striving and struggling and nothing ever seems to quite go our way. The Bible says that in all sorts of ways, we don't experience life the way we're supposed to. The Bible says that God put eternity into your hearts. You know, you were made to live forever. Often I hear people say, so-and-so who's passed away, you know, they lived to 95 or whatever. They lived a good long life. I'm like, no, it's not long enough. I don't want to die after 95 years. I want to keep living forever. Our lives are so short. There's illness, sickness, death always on the horizon. The Bible says that we are made for joy, to be filled with this abundant gladness at the life that we have. But doesn't it so often feel like for every two or three joys, there are 100 frustrations? The Bible says that we've been gifted this incredibly abundant, life-filled world full of color and great things to enjoy. But isn't life in this world full of hospitals and cemeteries, sickness and death, the lack of resources, constant fighting against one another? You know, the Bible says we were made to be in relationship, to be in community with one another. But isn't it so often that we go from one broken relationship to another? We meet up with our family and friends, and there's so much friction and tension, and often it feels like we're just one big argument away from relationships falling apart. So many of us are lonely, hurting and being hurt by those closest and dearest to us. The Bible says we're carefully, wonderfully made by God. But don't we so often look at ourselves in the mirror and want to change stuff about yourself? I want to be that little bit taller. I want to be that much smarter. I want to be this. I want to be that. I wish this or that about myself. We don't feel like things are right. We don't feel like we belong. We don't feel at peace. We don't feel safe. We don't fit into this world that we struggle and fight against. This world is so much promise, but we're forever being let down by it. And you know, when you feel those feelings, the Bible says to you, you're right. You should be feeling that. You should be experiencing that. You know, life in this broken world is distressing. You are out of place. You are lost. You don't live where you truly belong, because you are made for heaven. You are made to be in the presence of the Father who made you, who loves you, and who cares for you. You know, so when things are difficult, things are out of place, we don't need to pretend We don't need to put on a happy face and tell everyone that I've got peace in the world. You know, the world isn't the way it should be. Wonderfully, the story of Christmas is the story of Jesus who leaves his home to find those of us who are far from home. He comes to make things right for us so that we can know peace, so that we can know what it means to be a part of his family, so that we can enjoy being children of our Heavenly Father. That's the good news of the Bible. Jesus is not lost. He comes to find, to seek, and to save the lost. And that's the joy of Christmas for us. Let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do give you great thanks for all your love towards us. We give you thanks for the Lord Jesus, who walked so far away from home to find us, to seek and to save the lost, to bring us back to you. Father, I pray that for all of us here present today, we would know the joy and the peace of Jesus, that we'd know your love for us this Christmas. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.